All right, thank God for victory, amen. Amen. And if we were, if we were like many Christians nowadays, we wouldn't know if we had the victory or not. And so, it's good to be saved. And if you will take your Bibles tonight, go to the book of Ezekiel, and I will briefly. If you weren't here last night, there's no way I can cover. Over everything last night again. That wouldn't want to do that anyway, but I'll do a brief summary of what we covered last night because it does lead up to what we're going to go over tonight. And this stuff to me, when I get talking about the millennium, I get really excited. And the reason being, and it may seem weird, but I've been accused of being a little bit weird anyway, but I was an environmentalist before I got saved. I grew up in California, up in the mountains by Yosemite National Park, and, you know, it was just all, not all, but, you know, had the hippies up there and environmentalists and all that stuff, and I ended up that way, and they called me Nature Boy in high school and all that stuff. I rode a bicycle and didn't want to pollute the air and just all those things. And but some friends of mine got saved, and we would go up on the mountain. It's on the back of my prayer card, but go up on the mountaintop and look at the stars and look for UFOs and different things like that, and doing some other things too. But they got saved and started talking about the Lord. And my parents, I didn't have a bad home. I'm not going to say that. I had a middle-class American upbringing. Both my parents, mom and dad, both college-educated. My dad was the school teacher, became school principal, and evolution was accepted as fact in our home. And we weren't anti-religion. It just wasn't there. There was no religion, unless you want to call it evolution, but there was absolutely no religion in our home whatsoever. It just was absent. And they got talking about Jesus Christ, and we'd go up on that mountain at night, and we'd be up on this four-service lookout tower, and you could see for miles. I mean, you could see for miles. We'd look down to Merced. You could see from Merced, California, clear up to Lodi, California. You had this the valley of California, San Joaquin Valley. And in Merced, you had Atwater, I forget the name of the base, Air Force Base, but the B-52s would practice touch and goes. And we could watch the lights of those B-52s way up there as a crow flies. It's probably only about 60 miles, but you drive it, it was farther than that. But it's beautiful, beautiful. You turn around, look at the top of the Sierras, and the snow-capped peaks, and the moon shining on them, you know, and all that sort of thing. And it's just real pretty. And they were talking about the Lord coming back. And just different things about Jesus Christ each night. And I didn't understand what they were talking about. And it was like I was in a fog. And I don't know what some of my questions were, but it was obvious to them I knew nothing. And these were a couple of them up there. One of them, Mike, was my best friend. And he had gotten saved, you know, a couple weeks earlier, but they were talking about the Lord coming back and how nature was going to be reborn on the earth and how the animals were going to be vegetarians and all this stuff. So I'm like, wow, man, I've never heard anything like this. He said, oh, yeah, man, you know, and the sun's going to be seven times brighter and the moon's going to be brighter and on and on. And they didn't even know about the King James Bible issue. Matter of fact, when I got saved, nobody showed me a single verse of the Bible. Nobody opened a Bible. They were just, I'm thankful that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And they were just talking. And I'm listening and ended up getting saved, born again. Thank God, knelt down beside my bed by myself and prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And I hadn't been the same since. But that thing about the millennium, that got a hold of me. And, you know, it really is the majority. It's what got me listening. But the reason I got saved was I wanted to go to the millennium. That's maybe you got saved because you didn't want to go to hell, and that's good. I don't care why you get saved, just get saved, amen? But I got listening to that thing, and that thing just, boy, that was, it was amazing. They're talking about roses won't have thorns, you know, and a grape will be the size of a watermelon. Who knows? Yeah, they're going into all this stuff, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know. And it really just got a hold of my attention, and then they put the cross in there and about Jesus Christ dying, and when he shed his blood, he made the atonement and all that stuff and ended up getting saved. So this subject, really, I really enjoy it. I really do. And it's as real as anything, and it's going to happen one day. Jesus Christ is coming back. But one night, some years back, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I hadn't read my Bible that day. And I sat down and went, oh, man, I got to read my Bible. And then I went, oh, no. I'm in the last 8 chapters of Ezekiel. I'm like, oh. And if you know your Bible, it's, you know, light against light, row against row, and they're describing the temple and all that stuff. And it's not like David and Goliath, you know, or, you know, stuff like that. But nevertheless, I thought, well, okay, it's the Word of God, you know, and I said, Lord God, give me something. I started reading, and I literally, when I got to Ezekiel 48, I was almost asleep. I'm just being honest with you. You're reading, you're like, all right, you know, and you're trying to keep your eyes open, going through it. And that's how I was. I was going down there. And I got to Ezekiel 48. And look at verse 2. And by the border of Dan, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Asher. And by the border of Asher, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Naphtali. By the border of Naphtali, from the east side and the west side, a portion from Manasseh. Not the most exciting Bible reading there is. It's the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. It's the Word of God. And what you're reading about, and I knew what I was reading. I'm reading about the land given out to the tribes during the millennium. And from the Mediterranean all the way over to the Euphrates are these strips of land. And it's just a straight line going over there. And each division is a different tribe, and that's the land that's granted to them for that millennial time, that 1,000 years. And so reading down there, and then I get to verse 8. By the border of Judah, from the east side and the west side, shall be the offering which ye shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth and in length as one of the other parts from the east side and the west side. And the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. So you got these northern tribes there. They're just straight lines across. And then you get down to the middle because there's some below it. You get to Judah and it's different. And in Judah's land grant, in the middle is Jerusalem and the sanctuary of the Lord. And notice verse 9. The oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 25,000 length and of 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priest, shall be this holy oblation toward the north, 25,000 length, and toward the west, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south, 25,000 length. And the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. Now, in that millennial time, that sanctuary of the Lord, Jesus Christ literally, physically, bodily, that sanctuary of the Lord, he will be right there. That's where he will be. And then look at verse 11, and I'm about half asleep when I'm reading this. It should be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And I kept reading. And I got to about verse 14 and went, wait a minute, stop. What did you just read? And I backed up. You ever do that? It's like, what did I just read? So I backed up. Even though I was tired, I'm like, wait a minute. And I backed up to verse 11. It should be for the priest what? The sanctuary of the Lord. That area right there. In the heart of the land given to Israel in the millennium, the sanctuary of the Lord, it's given right that right there, shall be for the priests that are sanctified. In other words, these are set apart. Now watch this. Of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray. Well, that's back here in the Old Testament. You read about that. You read about Israel going apostate. You read about them worshiping the host of heaven and just all the various gods, Dagon and various ones, you know, Malcolm and all those things like that. And God sends them off to captivity and all that stuff. And there's a lineage of priests. They're the sons of Zadok. And when all the other priests, and when Israel went apostate, they didn't. They stayed true to Jesus Christ. And now it's the millennium. And now it's 2,500 years later. And it's payday. And the Lord says, you guys, come here. And man, I read that thing, the sons of Zadok, and I didn't know all what I just told you then. And I read that, the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray, and this oblation of lamb that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. And they're the ones that are in that sanctuary, nobody else is. And I read that and I thought, now those are special people. There's some very special people right there. And I started flipping and turning and studying, and that's where this was born, is from a half-asleep Bible reading session. And I got looking at that thing, and just as a brief review from last night, if you weren't here, have you ever wondered what you're going to do for 1,000 years? If you're saved, you're coming back with Jesus Christ. Let me back up just briefly. The Lord might come tonight, all right? The rapture. And we would be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be changed, and we'll be caught up together with the Lord, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Lord might come tonight. I hope He does. Let's go. Let's get out of here. And we'll go up to the rapture, meet the Lord in the air, and then we're going up to heaven. And there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account of what you did for Jesus after you got saved. It's not a judgment of heaven or hell. If you're saved, that's all taken care of. But it's what you did for the Lord after you got saved. And like I mentioned last night over in Ephesians, it says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Whatever you do for the Lord, you're going to get a reward. I want to encourage you. The littlest thing, the littlest prayer, the Bible reading, the coming to church, whatever it is, you're going to get rewards for those things. And I'll tell you, that ought to motivate you to do even more. And those rewards will last forever. Do you ever think about it? You ever lead someone to the Lord and realize, man, they're going to be in heaven forever. God just allowed me to do something that's going to last forever. Man, if you want purpose, there's nothing compared to that. I mean, getting your name in a star on Hollywood Boulevard is nothing. Getting your name inscribed in a piece of granite over a tomb or your grave. It's all going to burn one day. But what you do for Jesus Christ can last forever. Wow. I don't know if you ever thought about that. That's something to think about. And we're going up, going to be in judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be 7 years of tribulation down here, a one-world government, one-world monetary system, mark of the beast. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you get your head cut off, on and on and on. It's just going to be Satan manifested in the flesh running this down here. And 7 years take place, and at the end of that 7 years, we're mounting up on white horses, Revelation 19. We looked at all this last night. And we're coming back to this earth with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will be leading the way, and we're coming down. You've heard of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon, that sort of thing. And that's when this takes place. And the Lord comes into the Valley of Megiddo, and according to 2 Thessalonians 2 and Zechariah 14, there's a brightness that goes forth from Jesus Christ, and the armies of the Antichrist literally melt in front of Him. The Bible says their eyes burn out of their sockets and their tongue burns out of their mouth while they stand on their feet. It's that we looked at that last night in Zechariah. That is a blast hotter than a nuclear blast. And we come back, Jesus Christ comes back, and we take over this world. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Have you ever wondered what you're going to do for 1,000 years? And I mentioned last night that the way you live your life now for Jesus Christ will determine what you do for 1,000 years. Do you realize if the Lord came tonight, there's 1,007 years before the tears are wiped away? Tears aren't wiped away until Revelation 21, and that's after the millennial reign. And for 1,000 years, it will be obvious whether or not you loved Jesus Christ and lived for Him. That's very sobering. Very sobering when you think about it. But there is a millennial reign coming, and rewards are given out, and one of the rewards is given out to the sons of Zadok. And we're going to look at them tonight. But before we do, I want to mention some things about this. The sons of Zadok are Jews. We are not. All right? They are Jews. We are Church of God. Now, I know there's a denomination, Church of God. They got it from the Bible. It's a proper term. But everybody that's born again is Church of God. All right? You're the church. So, the sons of Zadok were priests for Israel to the Lord. If you're saved tonight, you are a priest. All right? Even you ladies are priests. And not priestesses, all right? You're priests. You say, why? Because all of us are sons of God. Now, I'm not getting into all that tonight, but you say, what's it mean to be a priest? You have direct access to God. You don't go through a priest. You don't go through the Lord. Listen, when He died on that cross, said it is finished, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, signifying that you have direct access to God now through Jesus Christ. You're a priest. They were priests physically. You're a priest spiritually. In the Old Testament, there were prophets. If you're saved, you're a prophet. You know the future. You can speak forth the Word of God. A prophecy is not a prophet. is not limited to future telling. It's prophesying, it's preaching the Word of God. And ladies, when you tell someone about Jesus Christ, you're preaching the Word of God is what you're doing. And you're a prophet. The Bible says, go ahead, let's look at it. I can't quote it. Go to Revelation. Look at Revelation 19. The testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy, something like that. Yeah, that's it. Look at Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10. Make it verse 19:9. And he saith unto me, right? Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to be married to Jesus Christ one day. Now, folks, I mean, these things are more real than your house. You say, why is that? Because your house is going to end. This is very real stuff. And I just want it to be made real to you and I tonight. But you're going to be married to Jesus Christ one day. If you're born again, you're in the body of Christ, and I wish I could describe that. I have no way to describe that. I have no way, absolutely no way to describe that. All I know is that Bible says God is love, and when the love I've experienced from Jesus Christ has already been far greater than tongue could ever tell. But when you're there. It's that bodily contact, union, whatever, with the God of the universe. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Right? Blessed are they which are called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the figurative sayings of God. No, that isn't what it said. These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you're a prophet, you can tell the future. You say, what do you mean? Well, how many of you know where you're going when you die? Could I see your hands? All right. That's more than Muhammad knew. Muhammad didn't know that. You know where you're going when you die. Not only that, you know where somebody else is going when they die if they're not saved. You can tell somebody, you're going to go to hell. You don't know that. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do. And you know that the Lord's coming back. You know there's a resurrection. You're going to be 1,000. There's a bunch of things that we know that are going to happen. You're a prophet. I will say this, the prophets in the Word of God suffer. They all suffer. And that Bible said, and we looked at it last night, if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. That thing? And this reign, this millennial reign, there is a condition, and it is you suffering with Jesus Christ. And I mentioned how that Jesus said, suffer the little children coming to me, means allow or let or permit. And you've got to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to run you now. And then you can reign with him then. And if you run yourself now and say, no, I'm going to deny the Lord. I'm saved. I love you, Lord, but I want to run my own show. You say, help yourself, but you're not going to reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. You say, well, what will I do? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. You're just not going to reign. And just that very truth will make manifest that you didn't love him enough to serve him in this age, in this life. And there will be a shame associated with that. So where do we go? Okay, so you're a priest, they were priests. You're a prophet, they were prophets. There's one more office. It's called a king. Will you be a king? A king is somebody that has a kingdom. And in Luke 19, last night, I showed you how that there's going to be cities given out to the faithful servants. And if you serve the Lord now and do right now, then He's going to give cities out. And He may give you 10. He may give you 5. He may give you 1. Who knows? But He'll give you a city and say, here, reign with me. And that's going to be something else, man. Something else. I mean, when you think about America is a young nation. It's not like Greece. America's young. I mean, 1776, you had some people coming before that, you know, Columbus and that sort of thing. But nevertheless, I mean, 1,000 years, let me ask you something. What was in America 1,000 years ago? Not much. I don't even know if the Mongolians were here. You got to think about that. The Indians are Mongolians. They know that. The Navajos out there in Arizona, they say, well, you know we're Mongolian. I mean, oh, go to Mongolia. They got the Hogans. They're the six-sided buildings, and they walk in a certain direction around them and all that sort of thing. They know they're Mongolians, but they're just trying to make us feel guilty. We came across the Atlantic. They came across the Pacific. Either way, it all started over there. Amen, amen, amen. But you take, my mind's going. Where was it? Where was I headed? Oh, yeah. So 1,000 years ago. I mean, I don't know when they got here. But 500 years ago, there was a few Mongolians in America. And you know what else there was? There was lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. You say, why'd you say that? Because they were eating people. And they were trying to kill them. They're just trying to survive. And, you know, and they're going through that. And there was cancer. And there was heart attacks. And there was war. And there was cowboys and Indians. And there's, well, you know, the Revolutionary War. I don't know, all kinds of wars. World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all that stuff. You got the Black Death, you got the plagues and all that stuff. And people dying right and left. Dysentery was the main cause of death at the turn of the 20th century. 1900, dysentery was taking people out right and left. People just dying and dying and dying. You say, why do you go into that? Because in less than 500 years, there's over 300 million people in the United States of America. Now, that isn't much compared to China and India that are, you know, billions. But nevertheless, it gives you an illustration in a short time that population growth, but in the millennium, there's no wars. In the millennium, the lions eat straw like the ox. The snakes, the adders, the rattlesnakes, and the vipers. A child will play over their den. They're not going to hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So then a child is said to be 100 years old. Do you realize the population growth? The graph will be, I mean, just like that. And I mentioned it last night, but if you get a city and it's Spring Mills, Pennsylvania, if Pennsylvania's still here, but let's say it's just a wide spot in the road. Listen, in 50 years, that white spot's going to be like 1 million people. And in 100 years, it's going to be who knows how many millions. And in 500 years, you're probably over 1 billion people of your city. And you and I, if you're given a city, you're going to be running that city. And like I said, there's going to be no bars in my city. There's going to be no drugs. There's going to be no no prostitutes. There's going to be no wickedness, no dirty jokes, none of that stuff. I mean, I'm going to rule that thing with a rod of iron. And if anybody steps out of line, bam, they've had it. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, it's in there. It's in there, all right? Show me. I'm just kind of giving an overview. But Jesus Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. We're going to reign with him. I'll tell you something else. And this is just amazing. Go to Zechariah. Once a year, people have to go up to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. Now, I don't know how they're going to do it. Because in the millennium, there are still people with bodies like you have right now. Okay? We will have new bodies, and we'll be just like Jesus Christ, all right? So we'll have our perfect body, our immortal body. Thank God, no more diets, no more none of that stuff. And amen. But there will be people just like we are right now on the earth. And again, the atmosphere changes and it's different. But nevertheless, they'll be there. And once a year, they got to go up and worship the Lord. Now, how are we going to get everybody over there? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how that'll be. I don't think it'll be airplanes. I don't know, but it's got to happen. But watch this now. This is just a little glimpse of that time. Look at Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8. And in Zechariah 8, verse 3. Zechariah 8, 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. See that thing? Jesus Christ come back. And will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. That literally is going to happen. That's millennium. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. You've got this city, and you've got old men and women walking around. And they're not worried about getting mugged. They're not worried about crime. Look at verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Isn't that a blessing? You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of old America. Amen? I mean, old America, where the kids could run and ride their bikes and play and didn't have to worry about nothing. And boy, there'd be couples walking around downtown towns and going shopping and playing and having fun. That's just a little glimpse. This is the millennium. Man, that picture, I like that. It's going to be a good time. Now watch the attitude. Look at verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily. See that thing? To pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts, I will go also. Is that thing? You say, what's going on? There's a city getting ready to go worship the Lord in Jerusalem. And they're like, man, let's go. We can't wait to go. It's like a little kid getting ready to go to Disneyland. They're like, oh, man, we're going up to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. Man, let's go. Let's hurry up. Let's go speedily. And someone hears, you're going? Say, yeah, we're going. Say, can I go too? Say, come on. And man, it's like a joy to go worship the Lord. Isn't that refreshing? In this age, oh yeah, okay, well, we've got to go to church. we've got to go, And that's the flesh. But in that millennium, people are just longing, oh man, we're going to get to go see the Lord. Man, there's a joy, there's a happiness there. All right, I got to get back to my notes or we won't finish again. But take your Bibles. Now, it says there that those sons of Zadok were always faithful. And so I want to just give you a few glimpses into the sons of Zadok. And they stayed faithful when Israel went astray. Brothers and sisters, we're in a time when Christianity has gone astray. I want to stay true. I want to finish right. I want to be like one of those sons of Zadok, that though all have gone astray, I want to stay true. And I want you to see this with the sons of Zadok. Go to 2 Samuel. This is a group of people, a lineage of people that stayed true even when everybody else left. Matter of fact, this is the line of Phinehas. If you know your Bible, you know Phinehas took the javelin and slew those two in the tent when they were fornicating with Moab. And this is the line through Phinehas on down to Zadok. Matter of fact, I think it was Handel. Handel has a movement in one of his symphonies called Zadok the Priest. And Zadok is a famous man in the Word of God. But notice here now in 2 Samuel 15, and what's going on here, Absalom, David's son, is working up a conspiracy, trying to take over. And David is leaving Jerusalem. And all I want you to see, verse 24. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him. Now that's the daddy. That's the beginning of the line right there. And bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God, and they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. That's 2 Samuel 15:24. I don't know if I gave you the reference there. And all I want you to see is Zadok, he's got that ark, and he knew that David was the king. And that ark had the presence of God. And I just want you to notice the association, that's all. That Zadok and that ark, that presence of God, he's got it there, and he's going with David. And David says, no, Zadok, take it back. If God's merciful, I'll see it again, and if not, Lord's will be done. And so Zadok takes it back. But he's got the ark there, and the presence of God is there with him. Now look at 1 Chronicles. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures here, but look at 1 Chronicles.
Let's see here. Yeah. 1 Chronicles 6 and verse 8.
Yeah, 1 Chronicles 6, 8. There's a lineage here. And this is one of the few times I really enjoyed studying the lineage and the begats. It's like, oh, wow, it's interesting, you know. And look at verse 8. And Ahitub begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Ahimaaz. And Ahimaaz begat Azariah, and Azariah begat Johanan. And Johanan begat Azariah. That's, you know, another one of the same name. He it is that executed the priest's office in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. And I just want you to notice that Azariah is the son of Zadok, and he's the priest under Solomon. So you got David, then you got Solomon. You got the lineage started there. Moving on. Now, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. And if you know your Bible, you know that Rehoboam, after Solomon got on the throne and Israel split 10 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes, and the 10 northern went apostate. And Judah floundered there for a little bit. Then they got things together pretty good. And they actually last longer than the 10 northern. But Israel as a whole doesn't do real good. They get apostasy in there. There's a king that comes on the throne by the name of Hezekiah, and he's a good king. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 1. And Hezekiah's daddy was Ahaz, and he was very wicked. And Hezekiah gets on the throne, and notice verse 2. And he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. But look at verse 17. Hezekiah commands the priests to clean the house of the Lord. He begins the first month. What that say? First year, first month. Look at verse 17. Now they began on the first day of the first month. You know what Hezekiah's first command was? The coronation takes place. They said, God save the king. He said, you done? They said, yes. He said, priests. They said, yes, sir. Get in that temple right now and clean it up. That was his first order. And they went to work. And he gives them a charge in verse 11. It says, my sons, you know what you are? You're a son of God if you're saved. Be not now negligent. The house of the Lord had been neglected. Be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him. Does that mean anything to you? Does it mean anything to you? Now, I'm not a Calvinist. You have the free will to get saved. But once you're saved, God has chosen you. Does that mean anything to you? Well, that's something to think about. The God of the universe has a job for me to do, has a job for you to do. How many Christians are going to get to heaven and never find out what God wanted them to do? That's failure. I don't care if you're as rich as Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. If you don't find out what God wants you to do and do it, you're a failure. Amen, amen, amen. It says there, my sons, be not now negligent. In this age, Christians are neglecting God. They're neglecting the service of the Lord. They're neglecting their duties and what God wants them to do. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Be faithful to what God wants you to do. He says that the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that ye should minister unto Him. That Bible says over there in the book of Acts, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work which I've sent them, I've got for them to do. They ministered to the Lord, fasted. What is that? That's prayer. That's praying. You get praying, you're ministering to God. As they ministered, that you should minister unto Him and burn incense. Incense is a picture of prayer. You realize when you work in this church, you're ministering to the body of Christ. And I know the local church is not the body of Christ, as in Ephesians chapter 5, but it's a local body, and you're ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ when you're working in the church. I hope that means something to you. I hope that means something to you. It ought to. It really ought to. And Hezekiah tells the priest, get busy and do those things. Verse 12, then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasai, and now watch it, and Joel, the son of Azariah. Azariah is the high priest. Azariah. Look at verse chapter 31. In verse 10, 2 Chronicles 31, verse 10, and Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, sad thing. You got Joel in there working. They're in the proper lineage. And there were other priests there that were not sons of Zadok. Here, but you're going to see here in a minute as we go farther on into the apostasy of Israel, all the other priests leave and the only ones left are the sons of Zadok. The others have left. And I can't believe it. The clock speeds up when I get in the pulpit. I just can't believe it. So I got to hurry up here. But you know what? They got in there. They started cleaning up that temple. It was dirty. It was dark. It was smelly. And you know what I think happened? I think they got dirty. And I think they sweated or perspired. I guess that's the proper term. But you say so. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But nevertheless, they got in there and worked. Now Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah. We'll try to pick up some speed here. But look at Nehemiah chapter 11. What are you going to do for 1,000 years? Look at Nehemiah 11:11. Nehemiah 11:11. And I just want you to see another lineage here. Nehemiah 11:11, Seraiah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Merayath, the son of Ahitub, was the ruler of the house of God. And in verse 11, I want you to notice the name Hilkiah. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. Are y'all? Okay, good. Seraiah, the son of Hilkiah. Hilkiah is an important man in the Bible. Go to 2 Kings 22. Look at 2 Kings 22. You're getting a little meat here tonight. Just stay with me. Chew on it. Look at 2 Kings 22. Verse 1. 2 Kings 22, verse 1. In 2 Kings 22, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Is there anybody here 8 years old here tonight? Sir? You're 8 years old? Okay, anybody else? Any other 8 years old? Do you realize this young man was the king when he was 8 years old? Realize that? He was running the country. You know that? I mean, he was the king, Josiah. And that was it. That's something to think about, isn't it? 8 years old. He probably did a better job than Barack Obama, but that's another thing. But Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years. And Israel's gone apostate again. Idols have come in. The house of God, the temple of God's been broken down. Why? It's been neglected. You say, how do you backslide? Just neglect your Bible reading and praying. Just neglect going to church. It's not just getting mad at God or anything. It may not be any of that. It's just neglect. Just neglect. And that's what happened. And they went after other gods. And look at verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, there's no other priest now. The only one there is the son of Zadok. And Shaphan was a scribe. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. When you get to Josiah, do you know where you are? You're at less than 100 years from Israel going to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar coming in and taking them. You're at the end of Israel. They're apostate. And Josiah gets on the throne, says, get in there, clean it up. They clean it up, and there's a man in there, and he's working, and he got dirty, and he perspired and sweated. And I'll get to that in a minute. But he's working, and as he's working around in there, it's dark, it's dingy, he's setting things up, and he's looking, and maybe he lights the candlestick, it begins to glow, and he sees something. And maybe he has to move something out of the way. And he walks up. Where God? Shaphan! Shaphan! Yeah! I found the Word of God. I found the book of the law. It was right here in the house of the Lord. And I found it. They took it into the king. You say, what was Hilkiah? he was a Bible believer. Most of the Christians don't know where the Word of God is. They haven't found it yet. We have. We know exactly where it is. Amen. It's the last days, folks. And those sons of Zadok, let me give you another two that are just amazing. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah the weeping prophet. They didn't like him. Jeremiah gets thrown down in that dungeon, left for dead, and on and on and on. I mean, just things he went through. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1 and look at verse 1. Jeremiah 1:1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. My. You know who Jeremiah is? Watch what it says. Of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Jeremiah is a son of Zadok, and he's in there, and he's doing right, and he's living for God, and he's preaching the truth, and the other priests had gone apostate. And he stands up against him. He's a son of Zadok. Son of Zadok. And they go off into captivity. For the sake of time, I won't go through all this. But they come back to the land. Nehemiah leads them back physically. But spiritually, there's a man by the name of Ezra. And if you study that thing out in Ezra chapter 7, Ezra is a son of Zadok. And the sons of Zadok were always faithful to Jesus Christ. 2,500 years go by. The church age is over. And it's now the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come back to the earth. And now it's payday. Go to Ezekiel. Go to Ezekiel. And we'll look at this and we'll be done. These are Jews. You're a Christian. You're not going to spend 1,000 years in outer darkness weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. I've had guys tell me that. The unfaithful Christians, yeah, they'll be in outer darkness weeping. No, that's not going to happen. You say, how do you know that? Because that Bible says at the rapture, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? So during that 1,000 years, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if you'll be reigning or not. But you're not going to be in outer darkness weeping away in gnashing teeth. That's a lie. That is not true. But now, Ezekiel 44, we read this last night. And it's payday. And Jesus Christ is setting up the millennial reign. What you're reading right here is the very beginning of that 1,000 years. Okay? And we'll go through it, and I'll make some application, we'll be done. But verse 9, thus saith the Lord God, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. Remember that sanctuary there we read about in 48? That's that sanctuary. That's that place right there where Jesus Christ is. That's that temple. Verse 10, and the Levites that are gone away far from me. That's those priests that weren't of the line of Zadok. That's the other ones. It says there, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Lord, how long are they going to bear their iniquity? 1,000 years? Oh. For 1,000 years, it's going to be obvious who loved the Lord and who didn't. Verse 11, yet they should be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge, watch it, charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice, watch it, for the people. And they shall stand before them to minister unto them. So they're going to be taking care of the building. All right? You say, what's wrong with that? Nothing per se. It's just could have been something a whole lot better. You're saved, and that's a good thing. And you're going to be a son of God, and you're going to be there in the millennium. And that's going to be a good thing. And what you're going to be doing, I don't know. But if you don't suffer with Him now, you're not going to reign. You're not going to have the cities. What will I do? I don't know what you're going to do. But watch this. It says there, for the people, and they shall stand for them to minister unto them. They're ministering to the people and taking care of the house. Why? Verse 12. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. You know what they get in the millennium? They get what they wanted. They get what they wanted. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, all they wanted to do was please the people. All they wanted to do was to have their house. So in the millennium, he says, okay, that's what you wanted. So now you can minister to the people and you can take care of the house. In the millennium, what are you going to get if you get what you want? Is what you want right now a house? I'm not saying you're backslidden if you have a house. Don't. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you have to live like me. You need your house, you're stationary. I don't. I live on the road. All right? I'm not saying that. But the thing is, what's most important to you right now? Is it Him and His will for your life, or is it physical things? Wouldn't it be something to think about? This is what happens to them. Wouldn't it be something if here's the cities and the Lord's giving out cities and you come up and you see your city and the Lord says, no, give it to him that's got 10. But Lord, it would have been yours. But Lord, what do I get? What? And what if he says, well, you can have a house because that's all you were interested in. If you get what you want, what will it be? Would the Lord be just in doing that? Yes, he would. That make you think, man. Make you think. Listen, don't get wrapped up in right now. There's so much more coming. It's going to be over before you know it. It won't be long. You're going to be dead. All right? There's more to this than money and things. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And look at verse 12 again. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And now watch it, verse 13. And they shall not come near unto me. Now that's Jews. That's not you. I didn't make that statement clear enough. One time I preached a sermon, and a woman, there was a lady, and she called the preacher that night crying, oh, no, I'm afraid. No, so shall we ever be with the Lord, all right? He loves you, He cares for you, but I'm talking about rewards. But for these priests, the Lord says, I want you around me for 1,000 years. You can take care of the house, you can take care of the people, but I don't want you around me. You say, who'd say that? Jesus Christ said that. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Listen, for 1,000 years, if you're not reigning with Jesus Christ, it'll be obvious you weren't faithful now. You didn't love him now. You say, what will I do? I don't know what you'll do. I have no idea. All I know is that you will not reign with Jesus Christ if you don't suffer with him now. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. They're the plumbers and electricians and all that stuff, and they take care of the house. And you say, what's wrong with that? It needs to be done, but they could have had a lot more. Verse 15. But the priests and Levites, the sons of Zadok, there we go, that kept the charge of my sanctuary. Listen, where's the sanctuary of the Lord today? Anybody know? It's your body, right? Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, your body and your spirit, which are God's. It's your body. And all you got to do, just neglect it. Just neglect the Bible reading. Just neglect the praying. Just neglect it. Well, I'm busy. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. And you're running, 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 going, going. Neglect it. And pretty soon the light goes out. It doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It's just your eyes are dim. You can't see. You're not suffering with the Lord anymore. Done. Don't neglect it. That kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They, now watch, the ones that are faithful, watch this. I mean, the other ones, he says, look, I don't even want you around me. Now watch these guys. They shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. Wow, what a difference. Can you imagine that? I mean, now we're not, these are Jews, these are sons of Zadok, but he says, man, you're the guys I want you around me. What would it be to have Jesus Christ say, I want you to reign with me. I'm going to give you some cities. And you're going to help me rule this world for 1,000 years. That is set before you tonight. If you'll serve Jesus Christ in this time when Christianity is going away from God, they've already gotten away from the true Word of God. They don't even know where it is. And they've gotten away from real praying and real Christianity and all that stuff. If you'll stay true and live for the Lord, He'll give you a job. You'll reign with Him for 1,000 years. You say, well, you're just selfish. No. No, it's a matter of pleasing Jesus. That's it. And when He's pleased, there's rewards. He'll say, here. Reign with me here. I can trust you. You've been faithful in that which is little. I think I'll make you faithful in that which is much. Amen, amen, amen. All right, a couple more things. We'll be done. I know I keep saying that, but you know the definition of an optimist is a woman that puts her shoes on when the preacher says one more thing and I'm done. But you got to think about that. But nevertheless, look at verse 17. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in the gates, the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, shall have linen breeches on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. When they go forth into the utter court, even to the utter court to the people, they shall put those things off. Where's that? Verse 15. Look at verse 15. At the end of the verse, it says, they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. The sacrifices are reinstituted during that millennial reign. They're done as a memorial of what Jesus Christ did. And then down here in verse 18, he says, you're not going to put on anything that causes sweat. You say, what's so important about that? Well, look at the middle of verse 11. It says, they shall slay the burnt offering. So, you know what the Lord's saying? I remember when you went in that temple and you sweated and you were dirty and you were lonely and you served me and you did right and you paid the price like Jeremiah and you sunk in the muck and the mire and the dirt and you were treated like dirt. I remember all of that. And now you're going to have the most beautiful garments. And I don't want you to sweat. Those guys, they're the ones. They've got a get the bull. You ever been to a ranch? Manure everywhere. Dirt, stinking, you know? And those guys, they're the ones that have to get all that, and they prepare it and all. They get the fat and the blood, and the sons of Zadok come out. And the people are watching. You get some other garments to do this, but they walk over there, and these guys are sweating. And they take that blood. Thank you very much. And they go back into the sanctuary to Jesus Christ and offer it there. And he says, I don't want you guys to sweat. You say, what do you mean? He says, I remember when you're on the street corner preaching. I remember when you're going door to door and it was cold or it was hot. I remember when you gave someone a tract and they cussed you out. I remember when you stood up for me when the other Christians were not standing up for me. I remember all that. And now, here's some cities. I want you to reign with me now. There's something coming, folks. It's an earned reward. It's called the inheritance. It's a 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ. What will you do for 1,000 years? Look at this. Verse 23. And they shall teach my people. Verse 23 of 44, chapter 44, Ezekiel. And they shall teach my people the difference between the King James and the NIV. Well, you never know. Amen. Between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. You'll be reigning as kings with Jesus Christ. You'll be reigning. You'll be giving out judgment. And it will be righteous. It'll be according to the Lord's desire, because you've got a body just like Jesus Christ. And He will let you reign with Him. Responsibility will be given to you if you'll suffer with Him now. This vapor will determine how you spend 1,000 years. Don't blow it. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'd bless the message. Lord God, I pray that You would work on all of our hearts. Work on mine. Lord, help us to be sober. To not be complacent or faint-hearted or just dizzy. But help us to be sober, to be vigilant, and to be zealous for Your will for our lives, to be ready to repent of sins in our lives and our hearts, to be ready to go to serve You, to be faithful in a time when many Christians, the vast majority, and even now Bible believers, are going astray. God, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.